Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. Don's in the house.
I'm here.
Hey, good to see you, Don. Ava's here.
I'm here.
We are in the house. I'm Eric, and we are the Valley Outdoors. Good to have you with us. We got a lot of things to talk about today. We have an aggravating thing that keeps coming up. It's kind of like, I don't know, something, the gift that never, that it keeps on giving,
it's
I
like
guess.
It's like a mosquito.
Yeah, exactly. It raises a welt. That, we're talking a little bit about wolves going on up in the UP and a controversy going on with that and some people that don't like how many there are. So that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
As a weekly event, it's always nice to have the vision.
First show of the new year.
I know.
When are we ever going to get here?
I'm not complaining.
No. Okay. Glad you asked, Don. So,
yeah?
Yeah. I just pulled this up just a second ago. And it's supposed to be like 33. And this is in Red Wing. We're looking at about 33 degrees.
Central Minnesota.
Central Minnesota, 25 overnight with a chance of flurries. Next Saturday,
yeah.
The high, 9.
Yeah, it's going to cool down.
An overnight of 1.
When do I get to start my snowblower?
Maybe.
I don't think anybody in the Midwest has started their snowblower yet.
Maybe Thursday? Oh, yeah. They started them just to make sure.
Just to see it ran. Yeah.
Driving around.
I haven't even done that.
So. Is that what you do, Don?
What's that?
It's kind of like when you get your boat and you get it home and you just go sit in it and pretend you're out fishing.
Yeah, you go vroom, vroom.
That's exactly, and that's about what it comes down to. Yeah.
You know, I got to admit, it's not that I'm missing it that much. It's really nice to have to drive on dry streets without a lot of sand on them and there's no slush and there's no, you know, spray and salt and all that good stuff.
Walk outside your sweatshirt.
I mean, sooner or later, it's, you know when we're going to pay for it? In March, early April.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to say, you know. I think the season shifted on us. I hope I'm wrong.
All I know is it's going to be a crazy January, February, because we got to stack everything in. And I don't know how that's going to be possible. What I do know is when I talked to one of the guys that I work with, he's out in Washington State. Yeah. They are absolutely going to get drilled with snow, and it's coming not to us necessarily. I think it's going to head down through the south, through Colorado and that kind of thing, but they're going to get, apparently they're supposed to get 2 feet of snow.
Good for them.
Good for them.
We don't feel bad.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, nicely done.
So that's when winter's coming. It's coming out west at this point. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that, do you?
No, not at all.
Well, in the snow side of it, we haven't touched on pretty much anybody in one of my favorite things in the world, but I'm not a cross-country guy.
Right.
Cross-country skiing is not
not what you do.
It's not my thing, but I do like to follow it. And, of course, we've had Jesse on the radio. We've talked about that before.
Jesse Diggins,
local hero from, her parents are from Red Wing /Afton. And she's done well. And
I'd say gold medals pretty well.
Yeah. But is obviously in one regiment.
Right.
And she is in the lead for the Tour de Ski, which involves so many different elements. And she's in the lead of everyone. And
pretty,
I mean,
pretty substantial lead as well.
It's never been done in the U.S. for a U.S. cross-country skier ever, men or women.
Yep.
And
when you look at some of the keys that they have here, that this particular one that they just raced this last week, towards the end of last week, a 20-kilometer classic pursuit. So it involves...
I believe it was in Italy.
Relays, exactly. Yep, yep. And it's unbelievable. I mean,
she won for like by 57 seconds or something, which is...
huge.
Is a huge lead.
Huge, huge
something
lead.
Like that.
And, you know, when you look at something like that and the talent that's involved with it, but just, you know, obviously worth the commentary to say Jesse is just rocking it on the circuit. And
I encourage you just to follow her on Facebook. It's Jesse Diggins. That's all you got to put in is Jesse Diggins. And I get updates that she did race last night again in Europe. And she came in, I think, with the bronze. But that's after she took a fall and injured her hip. And the other skiers, all the comments on the thing were praising her for even racing, let alone coming in third.
Yeah.
So I think right now in the standings, I think it's two U.S. girls.
They are. Rosie Brennan is number one, and number two, and Diggins is number one.
Yeah.
That follows up on the race when she lost her pole and her glove. They handed her a pole, and she put it in the ground and skied into it, and it tore her face up, and she was bloody. So she's skiing without a glove on one hand, apparently froze her hand, and finished in the top group there as well. So kudos.
Yeah,
serious
you
kudos.
Know, the interesting thing we'll finish it with, if you follow her on Facebook, you'll see her training regimen. It's unbelievable, and it's all the time. She takes, you know, 4 days off here or 5 days there, but then she's running in the mountains, and I'm going, and she's so thin. And what's really unique about Jessie is her smile. She's got the biggest smile.
And she's the sparkles chick.
She puts sparkles
on all her teammates, guys and gals. She puts sparkles. She says, no race is complete without the sparkles.
Yeah.
And they actually played her song. And I totally, American Woman, they played American Woman at the beginning of the start of the race in Italy as the charge up.
Well,
pretty
cool. What's really interesting, she's got the Norwegians and the Swedish people that are cheering her on.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's really cool. You know, so kudos to Jesse, a fan favorite, a local favorite.
We'll have to get her back on
favorite
sometime.
Of the show. Yeah, I have been reaching out, trying to figure out the best way to do that. So
I think
hopefully.
She's pretty tight. You know, we do have a race in Minnesota in February.
I know, I was going to mention that. You can still find out about it. I think the tickets are sold.
Or are they?
Possibly sold out. But definitely check it out. It's going to be coming, I think, in
February.
February.
It's the middle of February.
Yeah, exactly. So something to check out there. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. But, yeah, Jesse's pretty... strong as far as the local push too, and she's really pushing cross country for women and men across the board. So
yep.
Getting out and being active, so kind of cool. We're going to come back shortly here, and we're going to talk a little bit about the event that went on last week. We didn't quite catch that part of the show. We didn't have it on the news story when we did the show, but we do have it now, and there's some things involving ice fishing and the state of Minnesota. So check it out. We'll be right back. Hang tight. Welcome back, everybody. Always like to have you check us out. Where, Don?
The Valley Outdoors.
And where else, Ava?
Facebook,
yep.
Like us, please. Not predictable at all.
No. Well done, by the way. The ketchup was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So last week, you know, we've had, and Don, we commented off air that we've had a number of stories on ice, what's going on with safety and fishing and everything else. Hey, be careful out there. But last week, I heard the story, and I was actually going out to have dinner with a friend of mine, and I heard the story come across the news. It was a breaking news story. And I'm not joking. I was yelling at the radio. How stupid can you be We've already said the ice is unsafe. We've already said 14 million times. How dumb can you be?
Yeah, it's actually more than that. I mean, it's in all of the news across the Midwest to be cautious. And it's now it's more than that. Up in Lake of the Woods, had a vehicle go through.
Mm-hmm.
One poor soul lost.
Yep.
Had several.
Another 50 up at Lake of the Woods were off of Long Point. There was a friend of mine who was on shore. I had to help try and help rescue them. He's like, I'm not going out. This
Did they
is
have
dumb.
The ice separate from shore? And then part of the issue too is you're seeing videos on Facebook of mm-hmm. people going out. In this particular case, it was a guy I'd never seen this before, but he had some kind of a stand behind a ski. It's like he had skis on and he was pulling one of the old lawnmowers, you know, pulling him out there.
Yeah, they're big right now. They're I forget the name of a buddy of mine. He built one. He took a snowmobile track, put a motor on it, and then that's a piece of cake. It works great.
And then he had a row of about six sleds, you know, the tubs
yep.
that he's pulling behind. And the last tub had a guy sitting in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his big snowmobile suit, which I'm guessing if it got wet would be pretty tough to float in. But they were heading out, you know, and I mean, wherever they were at on Lake of the Woods, on Traverse Bay, which is, you know, what, 40
huge
miles across. And he said, there's 4 inches of ice here. I'm 4 inches. I'm not going out at that point. So I don't, you know, and maybe I'm just overcautious as a angler. I don't ice fish. Most people know that. But I was just surprised that they're heading out on Lake of the Woods. And then you hear what's going on in Red Lake. I'm not sure what the solution is. I mean, we like you say, we talked about this off air a little bit.
So this is the story. If you missed it, if you were under a rock last week, what really set me off was there were 122 anglers that were rescued after being stranded on the ice. That's on top of the previous.
I said, was that the first or the last time?
This is the most recent.
Most
time.
Recent.
Then
yeah.
prior to that was another 60. 70
there's,
anglers.
There's been several rescues.
And then the plane that landed sort of on the ice. And he thought, well, he overshot the area that it was good ice, and then he ran into the area that wasn't good ice. Well, guess what, folks? This is not rocket science, number one. But here's the other issue that mixes this up, Don. And this has come up on Facebook across the angling sites and Facebook, regardless of what site it is, if it's fishing related.
On blogs.
On blogs and various different forums.
Right.
You go up. You're planning a trip. You've got 2 days off. You're going to go fishing on a Red Lake. The bite's on fire, right? I got all my stuff up. I got four buddies. We're going to go up. We're driving up, and we're going to go to X Resort. And we're going to go X Resort, and then we're going to go fishing. Now, the ice is questionable, and you're up there. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that is, first of all, before I go up, and I've had this happen, by the way, in reverse, I call the outfitter and say, what are the ice conditions? I've actually had it happen the other way, where I was going up late fall for a fly-in, only to find out where we're going is frozen in, and they're not going to land an airplane on the ice, even though they can, but it's early season, and they're not going to take the risk of
falling through.
Dropping a $20 airplane in the drink.
Yeah.
So I don't know, with all of what's been in the news in the Midwest in the last month and knowing what our temperatures are, I mean, just look what's going on around here. We have open water on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no frozen lakes, which is, I don't ever remember in my lifetime not having lakes froze up by Christmas.
Nope.
I'm not hitting it. I'm not getting in my vehicle, and I'm not driving up.
Okay. So, but again, so these four guys go up.
They obviously didn't call.
Well, no, they called their ISIS. They're sending people out.
Oh, are they?
They're going to go out. So what ends up happening when you get up there and you see, well, it's the previous week it was put, oh, but we'll be fine. Who's going to tell them that it's okay? Now, remember, there's no public access. The only access you get is if you pay $20 and you go on the ice with the blessing of the resort.
There's public access on Red Lake, isn't there?
No.
Nowhere? Where do people put their boats in?
It's a resort.
Everywhere?
It's a resort access. All the research I've done, it's resort access.
Okay. Then I think the onus is upon the whoever's running the resorts or selling access to the lake is going to have some liability issues.
That's my exact point. Because how much money was spent, not to mention money, but these families of the rescue workers that are have to go out and try and save these guys that went out, they got their $20, the resort got their $20. And this is where the controversy comes in. Are you stupid because you decided to go out? Or you put the onus on the resort? Because they were the ones that have the access. They're the ones that always are the ones that say, Malak has been that way for years. It's like, okay, be careful in this entrance or it's going to be a little bit questionable.
Is there? Do you know if there's a cost being rescued?
There is not.
There's not. Well, that's where we start.
Exactly right, Don.
And if that's the case, you know, at $500 per person per rescue, you maybe the resorts have to be liable for that if, in fact, they're sending people out there. Or if they're going on a public access, not most all the lakes in
have some public access. Different because of the where it's situated.
But for those that have public access, then that onus goes on the fishermen.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So $500,000, then see how bad you hate the fish.
Ava, what's your take?
Well, like Don said, if it's private access, the people that are selling the access should at least warn people, like, hey, ice conditions aren't great, but if they still want to buy access and go out there, well, then,
they'd have to sign off on something. But part of what's happening on like Red Lake, for example, that's a big body of water, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a large span. It's not like it's a small 1,000-acre lake. It's
huge.
Miles. What's happening there is the lake gets a crack in it, and it separates. And they can see these from the air, you know.
Yeah.
So I have to believe that the county or DNR or somebody is notifying the resorts that there's a crack out there. There's open water. And once that opens up, that makes it possible for whatever against shore to move out, which strands you, or for it to crack in another place, and especially if any wind comes up.
Well, in this particular case, it pushed the ice all the way out from shore.
Right.
And then two people tried to go help with a canoe.
Oh, my.
And those two people fell in, and they had to be taken to the hospital because they had hypothermia.
Yep.
So when I look at this, it's twofold. Number one, how out of touch are you with it? Number two, well, let's go up and maybe it'll be okay. I have 2 days off, so we need to go fishing. Because right now,
get your boat and come south a little bit. You can fish out of your boat.
I know, but Don, this is where this absolutely fries me, because the resorts are giving somebody the okay to go out and go fishing on the ice they know has been shifting to the point where they have to be rescued. And 122 people getting stuck on the ice is unacceptable in my mind.
And it's not the fact that they're getting out their motorized vehicles. They've now banned. You can't take anything motorized out there. But I think you were allowed to walk out there. So no matter how you got out there, and then you have to get rescued.
It's exactly right. And, you know, when it comes down to it, the rescue called on went out at like 5:00
in the evening.
Okay, so let me tell you something. It's not like the ice just suddenly, in 18 seconds, shifted 30 feet out. Why are they not monitoring, saying, the ice is moving? You need to get your butt back here before it's...
It's not that hard to figure out.
Because no!
If you look down your hole, well, you see the bottom moving.
But been there, Don. We talked about that. Yes. But the problem is, the resort, if they're sending people out there, out of their resort, they need to be keep track of what's going on at their access. And that's the part that just...
Well, part of the issue here is, you know, that's something that will police itself in some degree, because if some resort told me that it should be good to go, and I go all the way up there and go out, and I run into this situation, I probably won't be making that phone call next year. Something to think about.
It's to the point now where are we at? And how do we move forward from here? And I agree. I think a fund you charge for individuals, if it's a open public access.
It's kind of like if you have a fire, if it's arson, you get charged. If you light the fire, you cause the problem.
Yeah. And I think the same thing holds true in the resort side.
Yeah.
And if they want to play that game, their funding is going to go up, because they're going to have some type of a format to do it. And I think they would have a much different scenario. So right now, snowmobiles, terrain vehicles, and all motor vehicles are prohibited from going on the ice. Violation of the order is a misdemeanor, and there are fines and penalties and restitution in that area according to that particular scenario.
So you know, the nice thing about all of us in this area, we're a lot smarter than that. Because we allow them to go on the ice if they want to right now with whatever motor vehicle they want.
Is that thinning of the herd, Don?
It is.
I like your thinking.
We don't even have to tell them.
No, but I was so absolutely off the charts, blown up on this thing, because I just can't understand how they can do that. So anyway. Hopefully it'll result in a change, but believe it or not.
I got to believe they're having discussions up in that part of the country.
They had, let's see, it's the fifth major ice rescue in the month of December.
Yeah, in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And there's no ice, so how is this happening?
Well, there's no ice down here.
I know.
Thin ice or the unsafe ice up north.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like we haven't talked about it, but.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about the wolf scenario in Wisconsin and Minnesota.
And the UP and Northern Minnesota.
Very little on the UP part of it, but some of the other aspects of it. And they've done some research recently by a couple different advocacy groups, and they're starting to call out the various DNRs. I'm not going to call out which ones, but... there have been some significant call-outs made, and it's because of populations that they're saying are significantly wrong. And in this particular case, the wolf count, the Michigan DNR wolf count, said that there's 631 wolves in the UP. They're guessing the number is more like 2,000. And...
So they're off a little bit, maybe?
Hmm?
They're maybe off a little bit?
I think they're off just a hair,
okay.
According to this particular group. And the decline in deer numbers, one of the reasons that they talk about it is they've had a significant decline in harvest numbers. But the harvest numbers don't match the decline of the hunters. So it's a significantly lower number of deer harvested because... their calculations are there's significantly less deer. And, you know, when you start looking at it, they have a process that they can follow. It's called Recon AI. And this is cool. So I don't know if you heard about this, Don, but they can sort through pictures and identifies each animal species, deer, bear, wolf. It also can blur out people and vehicles. And then it can identify wolves, and of course they're looking at getting that in place so they can have an accurate number. Well, a process they have right now, and they're looking at the actual numbers. The first survey took pictures of 4,221 wolves and 7,500 bears. There's supposed to be 10,000 bears. So if that holds true, that they're underreporting, guess what? They're underreporting the wolves as well, which would put it over a large, large number. So wolves are listed as being endangered. And then the question comes to, okay, how many wolves are there? And what would be an appropriate number of wolves in the United States, in North America? They estimate right now that there's 77,000 gray wolves in North America and 7,500 gray wolves in the continental United States. So the word is, in this particular group, says they're hardly endangered. There's a ton of them. Recently, also another article I was reading, they recently, in an undisclosed location, released 30 wolves into Colorado.
Right.
And now the ranchers, I don't know if you saw this, they said loudly they're going to take up a shoot on site. They have that right, and they will shoot on site because they are going to go after their herd. And it's controversial big time.
Yeah.
So
it would be for ranchers, and probably the only way they're going to solve that, if they want to keep wolves in those areas, is to somehow compensate the ranchers for any.
And they do.
Any calves that get.
But the problem is it becomes more rampant and they can't tell.
How do they know if it's a wolf or a mountain lion or a grizzly?
Apparently they can tell by the tracks. That's what they say. So
cameras might help too.
Camera? Yeah.
Cameras.
I like that idea. Nice. Well done. Well, nicely timed. I like that. Well, tell you what, we are the Valley Outdoors. Thank you guys for joining us this week. Lots of fun, vibrant topics. Don, good to see you. Ava, and for me, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out of here. Hope to hear you next week.